It's Daniel. And today, just to let everybody know, our session is being recorded. Okay. And I hope that we're going to have a really lovely time. Now, we may have to take a break in 35 minutes and resume for maybe another 15 minutes because we only have 40 minutes in this session. Okay, but welcome. I'm going to ask everybody to introduce themselves. Okay, so I'm going to start with myself. My name is Sanya Jeffrey, and I'm hosting the program today. And I'm going to ask Markayla and Mommy to introduce themselves next. Okay, so Markayla, do you want to tell us your name and say hello to everybody?
Hi, I'm Markayla.
Lovely, thank you. Mommy?
Hi, I'm Markayla's mommy. I'm Andrea.
Thank you. Next, who wants to introduce themselves for me? Sister Obiasu.
My name is Esther Obiasu.
Lovely.
I'm a member of Super Church.
Thank you. And there's somebody hiding behind you.
I'm Mrs. Sovias is my mom. I'm Itahan Khan. I'm her daughter.
Lovely. Thank you. And who else do we have with us today?
My name is Natalie.
Thank you, Natalie. And I am hoping that we'll have some other guests coming in. And I'm having some feedback, and I think I have a device that's on, so I need to turn it off to get rid of the feedback. So, once again, welcome. So today we're talking about autism. And I'm going to ask, is there anybody who knows what it means when somebody says you have autism? Who wants to tell me what they think it means? So, Obiasu, you look like you want to tell me.
No.
So, when we talk about
medical terminology,
a type of disability that has three main areas, it's a difficulty with how we communicate and how we interact with people. The three main difficulties that arise, we call it your imagination, difficulty with imagining things, difficulty in knowing how to make friends, and possibly difficulty in understanding some things. Now, not everybody will have all of those at the same time. Now, Markayla,
yeah.
You are identified as somebody who is autistic. What does that mean to you?
It's like my ability, like my special abilities, to have to commit to someone that I know that I don't know.
So it's something special about you in how you relate to people who you know and how you relate to people who you don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Markayla, I know something very special about you. What is it that you like to do? Something with numbers.
What is it?
What is the thing that you like to do that has numbers in it?
Oh.
Do you still do it?
No, man. Nobody.
Do you still do your Sudoku?
What's it?
Do you still do your Sudoku?
Your Sudoku, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
You still do that. And I remember that would be one of the things that you were really interested in. Now, when you were at school, what were some of the things that you found that you didn't like about school?
Well, it's when I don't whether like when someone get a little bit interrupting of lesson.
Yes, when people kept interrupting. And if I came to the lesson one day and I said to you, Markela, I want you to sit at the back, would you have been happy about that?
Maybe not, so yes. I'm in the middle. Maybe.
Just in the middle. But you would prefer to sit where you normally sit, isn't that so? You like to be in your own seat where you normally sit all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. And what is that, because that you were comfortable doing that? That made you feel happy sitting there?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Markela, I'm going to ask the other persons on the panel to tell me a little bit about themselves, and then I'm going to come back and ask you some questions, okay?
Okay.
And if you want to say something, you just put your hand up, okay? And there's a little icon on your screen where you can press it, and I can see where your hand is, and then I'll allow you to talk.
Okay.
All right. Have you found the little hand on your screen? So if you go to where it says chat and you click on it, you should be able to see a number of things that you can do. Can you see that? Or if you go to the one that says more. Lovely. Fantastic. Okay. So if you want to say something, just put your hand up. I'll see, and then I'll allow you to say something. All right? So you don't have to wait on me to call your name. Okay?
Okay. Lovely. Thanks.
Okay. Now, Sister Obiasu, you are the mother of a child who is autistic.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about when did you know that your son was autistic?
Well, it took a long time before he was diagnosed. He had various tests as to take him to. Well, he seemed to be a normal child until he was two. And I noticed that he never stayed still, and he never talked. He did say a few words earlier that he wasn't talking at all. I never play with other kids, his brothers and sisters at home. And he's all by himself.
And so you noticed that he was always by himself, he wasn't interacting with the other children.
Yes.
And that made you aware that something was different.
Well, also he used to get into tantrums because I didn't understand because he had no speech. I didn't understand what he wanted. He's getting into tantrums.
Okay, and so you noticed he wasn't interacting. He didn't have any speech. And because he didn't have speech, he had a tantrum because you couldn't understand him.
Yeah, when I interrupt, his tantrums were different because 2-year-olds had tantrums. He would hit himself, he would knock his head. I remember that. He would knock his head against the wall or against people. So his tantrums are not, you know, normal 2-year-old tantrums. His tantrums was different.
Okay,
that.
So his tantrums were exaggerated.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to communicate, and for him, that was his way of saying to you, something is not right, I'm uncomfortable, pay attention to me, or sort something out for me. Welcome, yeah. Lisa. Okay, lovely. So we noticed that the tantrums were a little bit exaggerated. Now, Andrea, let me come to you. As a mother, what made you notice the difference between Markela and her siblings? Because Markela is one of her twin, isn't she?
Yes, she is, yeah. So initially, when I had them, Markela was the more, what should I say, the more advanced twin.
Okay.
And then I think by the time she reached about about 2.5, I noticed she started to get very lazy and very reserved. And she just wouldn't, she wasn't talking anymore. She wasn't playing with, you know, with her siblings as she used to. And she was just by herself most of the time and just really withdrawn. And then as she got into the third year of life, she became even more withdrawn and more, you know, just, yeah. And then when you pick her up, she would literally sort of like bend as if she had no spine. Like she, you know, like she was really strong before. She used to kick her foot and jump and everything. And then all of a sudden, she just, you know, she was really lame and really just, yeah. So I took her to the doctors to find out what, you know, why is she behaving like this. And then they just started to do lots of different tests on her. And then her sibling had to be there because obviously they were twins, so they had to compare Markela to Rihanna.
Yes.
And it took them 7 years, well, from the age of 2.5, it took them nearly another 4.5 years before she was diagnosed with autism. Yeah.
Okay. So your situation was a little different because you had two of them. She seemed to be more advanced. And then you noticed that there was a change in her behavior and her interaction, but also in her body movement.
Yeah.
Did you notice her having any tantrums, or you didn't notice that with her?
No, not initially, not when she was about two. I think the tantrums started when she was about, when she started to go to school, not nursery, when she started to go to primary school, when she had to literally, and then she wouldn't like, she didn't want to go on the bus. I used to have to take cab from Edmonton to bring her back to Tottenham because she wouldn't go on the buses. She refused to go on the buses. She was kicking and scream if we had to go on the buses.
So we start identifying unique traits of behavior with each child. And one of the things we have been advised is that autism is manifests itself in a variety of ways. So no two persons who have autism behave the same way. It's like a continuum. So people will move along the continuum. Yeah. Right.
What we discovered about her was that she was very talented.
Yeah.
So she was able to sing. She was able to sing songs that were older than me. Like she, I don't know how she knew them.
So she had an ear for music.
Yeah. That was picked up by her the person that looked after her when she was at when she used to go to the special unit.
Yeah.
That teacher noticed that she had something musical about her, where she could sing old music that I don't even know. And also she had something with technology, her fingers. She was very good with anything that was technical. She could figure out at the age of three. She was able to, you know, to start to,
And fascinating. So, Markela, how did that make you feel? You could sing and you could do things with your hands. How did that make you feel?
Well, I don't know how to explain, but it's like I could just do like everything that I never did before, and I keep going doing this.
For you, it was normal. It was normal for you. There was nothing different. That's what you could do. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Yes. Well done. Okay, Sister Obiasu, I'm going to come back to you. As you went through the tests with your son, were the doctors able to give you any guidance in how to help him?
Well, it took a while before he was finally diagnosed because he was clever in some things and then, you know, lacking in some of the things. So they couldn't really say what he was till he was around about 7 and they finally decided that he was autistic.
Okay. And how did that impact on you and his siblings?
Well, I first time in my life I've ever heard about autism.
Yeah.
I never met one before. I came across one before, so that was the first time. And I wasn't able to communicate with him.
Yeah.
Because I found it very difficult.
Yeah.
And many tantrums, and I don't know what to do. I'm just going to step down somewhere and go deaf. Yeah. Because I don't understand what he wanted. What he didn't like. But my daughter here, she was able to communicate with him. So I would tell her what I want, and she know how to speak to him. And she should speak to him and communicate. I would communicate through her.
Okay.
She had that.
So how did you develop a special language to communicate with him, or did you just know intuitively what he wanted to say? How did that happen?
He used to follow me around anyway. I don't know. I was young. I'm 4 years older than him.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just, I just did. I don't know. I was a child as well, but I was the one that I could get through to him. I don't know. I can't remember. It's all of those years ago. In terms of answering my mom's the question you asked initially, I remember in the 80s, I don't think they were, I'm a teacher, so I do know about special needs and what they do now, but in those days, they didn't really tell you what you needed to do. They just put him in a special school, and then you just deal with it like that. I don't think there was any support for my mother, from what I can see. As children, we weren't initially told he's autistic. I don't know. Maybe from the groups, he used to go to some respites and stuff, then we came to that understanding, but there was no your brother's autistic conversation. We knew it was different.
But in those days, though, I had some support, because I used to go to groups and then meet other mothers, because I thought I was the only person in the world that had a child like that, until there were groups, and we used to go every week, and each of us used to chat and talk about our problems. That was
helpful. Okay, so one of the things that helped you was the fact that they provided support for you, although for the siblings, there wasn't really much explanation or guidance. So in one sense, they helped, but in another sense, they dropped the ball. And I just want to bring in an educator, another educator who is in SEN. Luan, what would you like to, what has been your experience with autism? We have had two parents give us their experience.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wanted to ask the parents, if their child was okay earlier on, because I've had a number of parents who said their children are fine up to vaccination time. Yes, they were okay until vaccination.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer that many kids became autistic because of vaccination. She said one of my teachers, one of my parents, Monia was fine. She was good. She was fine. Everything until her father's a doctor. He's a medical doctor as well. And after vaccination, she just went so different. Her, in terms of lights, she wanted a dark. Always wanted a dark room. She just stopped eating certain food that she really loved, and her whole demeanor just changed. And one thing I know with her, she can draw very well. She's good at, she's just now become artistic with
hold a minute for me, Luan. Luan, hold a minute for me. Markela, your hand is up. What do you want to say?
Sorry, miss. Yeah, I agree with because Markela, as I said to you, as I told you before in the past, that they were fine up until when she had her MMR. That's when she started to get a little bit different.
That's when you notice that from a change.
Yeah.
Mr. Obiato, would you say the same thing for your son?
Maybe so, because of that. Just they, I don't think he had his remaining vaccination. They had stopped it. So he didn't have any more vaccination. Yeah.
Okay.
After he was his behavior, very crazy autism.
Yeah, but MMR on it too.
Well, maybe he had it. I don't know, but maybe he had it because it was 22. Yeah.
So yeah. It was around when they first started giving MMRs. I never got MNR because I'm from 70s.
He was not hearing you very clearly. Can you come a little closer?
Sorry,
we're not hearing you.
He was one of the first MMR children because that was the 1980s.
Okay.
He first introduced it, so I know I never got MMR, but I know he, from looking at dates and stuff, I think he was one of the first children.
Okay, so we have quite a number of persons who believe that vaccinations have had an impact that has manifested itself in autism in children. Mm-hmm. And what there's a view that more boys than girls are affected by autism. It's a ratio of 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite interesting. In addition, many people have said that the girls are much harder to diagnose, or their diagnosis comes at a later stage of their life. Now, one of the things that Luan was making the point was that most children who are autistic tend to be very creative. And I know that Mark Taylor is very much into her singing and her baking and so forth. Sister Aviasu, I know that your son is very kind and very thoughtful. He likes to give gifts to people. Is there anything else that you could tell us about him that you would identify as
he can fix things.
He's very handy. He can fix things. Like, for instance, I had a door. The housing people came and took up the bathroom door, and they didn't come to the 3 days' time. They didn't come. And next thing, he put the door up.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. And if anything's wrong the house, he will nail it and fix it.
So we tend to see the a lot of focus on what they can do with their hands.
Yeah.
A lot of focus. They're very kinesthetic. They like to do things. You want to say something, Aisha?
He's got a very good memory. He remembers things for years that I don't remember, but he remembers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we see some sort of compensation in an area that they might not be doing very well, they make it up in another area and do very well. So Mark Haler, are you still baking? Do you still bake? And what did you bake? What was the last thing that you baked?
I made your birthday cake.
You made your birthday cake. So your birthday was 2 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah.
And how old were you then? Do you want to tell us?
19.
Oh, wow. We have a 19-year-old in our midst. Happy belated birthday, Markela. There are quite a number of persons here who know you, Markela, and I don't know if you can see them. Can you see everybody who is here today? Can you see them on your screen?
No.
If you swipe, you should be able to see them on your screen, Markela. So try to swipe and you might see some faces.
Oh yeah.
Can you see anybody? Yeah. Have you seen anybody that you know? Yeah. Apart from Miss Jeffrey. Yes. Who else did you see?
Yeah.
Say yes. Yes, say yes.
Ah, lovely. They knew you were coming today, so they made a special effort to be here to see you because they haven't seen you in a while. I want to welcome Helena and Lisa. Thank you very much. Natalie, welcome. Now, Markela, where are you now? I know you're at home, but are you at college or are you at school?
College.
And what are you doing at college?
I'm new to performing arts.
You're doing the performing arts. And does that mean that you're always in plays and musicals and things like that?
Yes.
Okay. When was the last time you were in a play? What was the name of the play?
Was it?
What was the name of the play that you were in the last time?
Oh, and then there's that a play is it's called John Guy.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about it?
John Guy is about a boy who is a footballer, and he's gone through his life with like he famous, but he just gone with the life with his girlfriend and his family and his friend.
Okay, and what part did you have in that play?
I had a main part, but I get to be I'll have like one or two scenes, but I get to be like a not extra, but get to be like
a minor role.
You had a minor role?
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember seeing you in a play and you were very strong. You spoke in a big, strong voice. Oh, yes, I saw you. I remember your acting talent. So I can imagine that you're doing very well at college. And Markayla, what will you do when you're finished with college? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I'm at the university.
Okay, and will you continue to do the same course? Are you thinking of doing the same course?
Yes.
Okay, so I should start thinking about seeing you on the stage in a couple years' time. Broadway.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to look out for Markayla on the Broadway stage. could I ask any of our visitors or guests just to tell me a little bit about your interaction with people who have been identified as being autistic? What has your interaction been like with those persons?
Oh, was it?
I'm asking everybody else now to talk to me a little bit about working with people who are autistic, Markayla. So I'm just gonna wait for them to tell me what it is like for them when they meet somebody who is autistic. Okay, who do you think I should ask?
Oh, who think you should ask?
Yes. You choose a name, or choose a person, and tell me who I should ask.
Oh, this is, I thought this is Miss Payne.
Have you seen Miss Payne? Is it Miss Payne you want me to ask, or Miss Charlton?
Miss Charlton, oh yeah, I remember her.
Miss Charlton, are you hearing me? I notice your mic is off, lovely. So, Mark, I have been given the directive to ask you, what is it like working with someone who is autistic?
You know what? To start with, it can sometimes be a challenge. But once you kind of build a relationship with someone who's autistic and have a common ground, it allows you to kind of have a dialogue because you understand them a little bit more. You're a little bit more patient with them, whereas other people might not understand. You know, you give them the space to kind of just be themselves. So my experience has always been positive working with kids who've got autism or students who've got autism. It's like I've never, I guess maybe because I'm the sort of person I am, I'm very accepting of people anyway. So it kind of just allows, it kind of gives room for you to just, you know, work out, you know, the relationship and, you know, how best to kind of work with them to kind of get them to where they need to get to. So you can be their personal support. You can be that person that they might just want to come to if they, you know, as a space where they can kind of come and just, you know, I mean, just if they want to not, if you know, a safe space. And I think that was kind of one of the things that I often provide a safe space for students to kind of come and just be themselves.
Yeah. I like what one of the things you said is about understanding this person who is autistic. And I think in any human relationship, understanding the other person from where they are, from where they are seeing life, is a very important way to build a relationship, to solidify a friendship with people. Is there anybody else who'd like to express what their interaction with persons who are autistic has been?
Well, I've had quite a number being a teacher and who is now working with kids with SEN. I have a little girl, she was in, because I've had her now for 3 years in my school, from year four, five, six, no, six, seven. She's very bright. Academically, she does very well.
If we are disconnected, please just hang up and reconnect. We might be disconnected, but just hang up and reconnect. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And she's very bright. She does well, very well academically. One thing I observe with her, if you're in her class, she wants to always be the one to give the answer.
Uh-huh.
So she has to be taught, well, somebody else has to go. Or you tell her, I'll ask you next. She's very understanding. So she prepares her. So, okay, I'll ask you number six question. At least she prepares for that. But if it's open-ended and she doesn't get to answer, she just screams out in the class. And oftentimes, I remember I went to her class when she was in year five and she had a right answer. And the teacher mistakenly said, your answer was wrong. And she just threw a tantrum. So I said to her, no, Maria, Mrs. Ona joking. She's just testing you. Mrs. is testing you. She said, okay, Miss Debbie, okay. Yes, she just threw one, yeah.
Yes, I think once you know what the triggers are, once you know what will help the child, and you use those things, the child develops a trust in you, and that helps. I know that I used to do something with Mark Haler in my lessons. Mark Haler, do you remember what I used to do? Okay, if you fell asleep in my lesson, what would I do?
You can love me or something?
Okay, well, I'd come and I'd play with your elbow, and that would wake you. I would play with your elbow, and that would softly wake you up. And you would be all right. You would be calm when you woke up. You wouldn't be worried that, oh, you had missed the lesson. And that was my little way of easing you back into the lesson. Obviously, were there special things that you did with your son that you were able to do to help him to be calm if he was unsettled?
Well, I listened to my daughter, but I didn't know what to do. So I would tell her, you know, could she speak to him for me? Because there's something the truth. I think I thought he was provoking me when I tend to do something, and he wouldn't do it, and I think he was provoking me. I just throw things at him. I must admit.
And that's what happens when we don't. I told her.
I asked her because I noticed how she was with him. So I tell her to deal with it.
Well, at least, and